Have you ever heard of silent divorce? It was recently highlighted in a CNN Health article where couples end up in this situation because they no longer feel an attachment to each other, but they keep living together for various reasons, including financial. Joining us now to talk about what silent divorce really is and is there sort of a way to return back to a normal marriage? We've got counselor Julius Zudyk back on the show. And Julius, welcome back. Have you heard of silent divorce before?
Yes, I have, Melissa, and I'm so glad you're addressing it because there are a lot of people that are not, you don't recognize it. You begin to just drift into that silent divorce. So let's define it. It's really right. Where partners, they've emotionally disconnected, but they remain legally married. They coexist as almost like roommates rather than lovers. And it means that they pretty much gotten into a habit of no intimacy, no communication, no shared experiences. And so it's not a formal separation, but it's an emotional detachment. And Melissa, it doesn't have to be. It just doesn't have to be that way. I've heard it also as an empty shell marriage or an invisible divorce, where a couple used to be close, but they're living separate lives and so forth. There's so much collateral damage that happens. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Julius, because there's been a lot of focus in recent months as well on, I don't know the term of it, but just to get to the point, where people sleep in separate beds, but they have a very happy marriage, but they don't sleep in the same rooms together as they get. It's usually when couples are older or if you have like different sleep schedules, your work schedules or whatever. This is different than that, right? I mean, we're not
Absolutely.
Talking. Okay.
Absolutely.
Or like separate bathrooms,
no.
right? You've heard of those things before, but that's not what we're talking about here.
No, we're not talking about the couples that just need to get their sleep and the husband's on, got sleep apnea or the wife does and they're in separate bedrooms. They've agreed, they've talked, and it's okay. They just need, for their own health's sake, to get better night's sleep. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an emotional disconnect. And that's the emotional intimacy that drives the passion, that drives the we're not roommates. We are lovers. We are committed to each other.
So how do you reverse that? We've got Counselor Julius Zudyk here. You're saying that it's not necessarily like the point of no return, Julius. There is a way that you can go from a silent divorce, which, hey, that's probably a really great thing because you don't have to go through all the legal fees and certainly the whole journey of divorce, which can be very ugly. You can reverse going from silent divorce back to a somewhat normal marriage. How do you do that?
Yeah, that is a great question. The truth is no relationship is perfect. So you're not, no matter how much you try to reverse it, it's not going to be perfect every day because bottom line is marriage is work. And you can't control your spouse, but if you focus on how you can control your response to them, the whole relationship gets better. You can't control your husband, but you certainly can control how Melissa responds to him or how Julius responds to his wife. And it's okay to experience the anger and the frustration. But it's how you process it and whether or not you let that control you and the relationship. So you really have to clearly identify the issues. What are the issues that are affecting us in terms of causing us to break? It's imperative that both parties understand how their behavior affects the other. It's when you just focus on yourself that, you get a train wreck.
Yeah, that makes sense. And now, Julius, we're talking about, obviously, how do we recover? But how do we get there? Maybe I should have started there. I think I jumped ahead. Well, because I want hope. I want to know that we can recover these marriages.
Sure.
But how do you get there? What are signs of a silent divorce?
Yeah, it means that you're not really interested in the other party when they come home from work. You're not asking how was the day, what happened. It means that you pretty much emotionally shut down and you're not sharing how you really feel about things. There's no emotional intimacy, and by that, you fear being judged, criticized, condemned all the time. So you don't want to say anything to your partner because she's going to judge me. They're going to criticize me. They're going to condemn me, and so you pretty much separate in your own head, in your own heart, and that's a sad place to be. And Melissa, you don't have to be there. You just don't have to be there. There's a way you can recover, but it takes humility. Because so much of this silent divorce is driven from narcissism, selfishness, pride, ego. How dare they do that to me? And you're going to have those feelings. But if you strive in a healthy marriage to put each other's needs above your own needs, there's going to be hope. But that takes, again, humility, and it takes being kind to each other.
Do you feel like, Julius, and I don't know if we're doing a better job of this or not, you'd probably have a better gauge because you talk to people all the time. Again, Counselor Julius Dudix is here talking about silent divorces. Do you feel like there's a common misconception, much like how as you get older, you expect your body to kind of break down, you expect for things to go wrong, so we kind of stop going to the doctor because we're like, oh, well, that's what's supposed to happen, whereas you probably could, you know, get that dental work done, or you could probably get that surgery done so that your body allows you to play tennis again. Do you think there's a common misconception that, you know, once you've gotten through the honeymoon phase, for example, of your marriage, and then you start having kids, that you're just not supposed to have an intimate connection? And the reason I ask that is because the amount of times people think there has to be something wrong or something deeper going on in my marriage, for example, because I still have a crush on my husband 17 years after I met him. You know, like that's still a thing that I still really like my husband. But there's, I would say society will tell you that there must be something wrong. She's hiding something. I'm like, no, I'm not. I just really like him. But do you feel like we have this common misconception that intimacy is really not supposed to continue or that feeling of attraction is not supposed to continue after a certain amount of time?
Yeah, and that's pretty much you fall into that lie.
Right?
That you know, it just doesn't happen. And over time, we're going to grow apart when you don't have to grow apart. Because resentment builds over time. This whole idea of resentment, and that's where it's so important for couples to identify and be honest with themselves, speak truth to themselves about what they really need, and then speak truth to their partner about that. And then it becomes an issue of what in Derek has to change to meet Melissa's needs, and then what in Melissa has to change to meet Derek's needs within a reasonable, you know, expectation. But resentment builds over time if you carry it. It's just that mentality of, yes, it's going to be this way. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, you could have genuine, authentic relationship throughout your old age. You can grow old gracefully together.
I asked that, Julius, because that was one of the first signs highlighted in the CNN Health article. It said a true telling sign is a sustained lack of physical intimacy or really just a lack of even like holding hands, sitting next to each other, just an interest in the other person, an attraction to the other person. That was actually one of the number one noted things in this article. And I thought to myself, well, I know just personally the weird looks I get or the weird comments I get that I will tell people, I still, you know, I still want to date my husband. I still want to, you know, I still have a crush on him, vice versa.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Julius, when we come back, I want to talk about some other things that this article really talked about, including that a lot of times licensed clinical social workers will say couples who are most likely to be in a silent divorce situation are high functioning couples. Silent divorce was highlighted in CNN Health this month, and we're talking about identifying what it is and certainly the signs if you are in a silent divorce and how can you recover from it. We've got Counselor Julius Dudix here talking about it. In the article, Julius, I thought it was interesting, and the reason I bring it up is because we have a lot of people, I would think, who fall into this category, specifically in Connecticut. According to a licensed clinical social worker and couples therapist in New York City, she says many high-functioning couples are in silent divorces. And when I heard that, of course, she's in New York. But like I said, we have a lot of people, especially in Fairfield County, who fall under this category of they've got high-powered jobs or they're in high-pressure positions maybe, or they've got a lot of children, they're on a lot of boards, what have you. But they're considered high-functioning couples. And I wanted to dive into that a little bit more and help people understand what is a high functioning couple, because apparently they're one of the biggest populations in these silent divorces.
Yeah, the high functioning are the power people that have great jobs, that make great money, that have done well in life. And what happens psychologically, I believe, is the job becomes almost the main focus in the relationship. And you tell yourself, what happens is the inner dialogue becomes, I'm providing for my kids, I'm providing for my family, I'm making a ton of money, we're going on great vacations, but we never really have emotional connection. And so the high-functioning person has that mentality of my job is my security, my job is my whole life, my job does this for me, my job does that for me, and the relationship just gets left in the dust. A high-functioning, intimate relationship, I believe, is based on equality and respect and not power and control. Because so often, the greater the need to control, the greater the stress. And there are a lot of high-functioning couples where they're in control of their employees and they're in control of their job. So they come home and they try to control their family. They can't. So the greater the need to control, the greater the stress. They get stressed out, and then they become emotionally detached. But again, it's all an issue of trying to get honest with yourself and saying, hey, you know, what's going on here? Why is it we are stuck when years ago we were so much closer, but now we've chosen to just drift? And the saddest thing is when you drift to another individual and you begin to have the affair or whatever. And what happens is you bring the same problems that you never resolved in the first relationship into the second or the third or the fourth relationship.
And, you know, Julius, I was actually, interestingly enough, not because we were having this conversation on the show, I was just having this conversation about love languages, because sometimes it could be the simplest things. Like, we make things so complex sometimes as humans, but really our needs are pretty simple sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. I was having this conversation with a group of people because I was talking about, you know, when you make your bed, it's something that it means a lot to me. I don't know. It's just something I'm very type A. And when I come home and the bed is made, my God, and what's so funny is, for most of my relationship, my husband used to criticize it. He's like, what does it matter? We mess it up. Like, what does it matter? And you know, not only does he recognize that this is something that means something to me, but even just the type of bedding that is done, and the types of blankets and the types of pillows, all, what have you. I'm having this chat with a group of people yesterday at an event, and I'm saying, and what's so funny is the husband of this other woman pipes up and goes, yeah, I really enjoy, you know, really soft blankets or something. And the wife turns and says, well, I'm glad to know that. I had no idea. Like, I'll go to Home Goods tomorrow. And I said, you know, these types of conversations, we are so comfortable as, isn't it funny? We're comfortable talking about it with strangers. But to your own partner, the one you made vows to, a lot of times that doesn't actually come to the surface until you least expect it. So I think, obviously, you know, if you need, you know, counseling, that's certainly something that we're trying to normalize more and more in this society. But, you know, it's not lost, the idea of there's no way, there's no point of return, because it clearly that there is. And Julius, if people wanted to reach out to your office, get more advice on this, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you can call 203-243-7714, or you can check the website out at njcc.online. Melissa, the quality of your and my marriage, everybody's marriage, is based upon our ability to compromise, to listen, to change, and to accept what we can't change in the other individual we've connected with. Mm-hmm. There's hope. There is hope. Melissa, I just don't want listeners to feel like, hey, I'm stuck. And if you are in an abusive relationship, above all, you want to get the help and get out of that, because nobody deserves to be a doormat. Everybody deserves respect and dignity. But there's hope. There is hope.
Yeah. And I do appreciate you saying that, Julius. When we're talking about these silent divorces, we are certainly not including domestic violence situations. Very different conversation, very different resources and things that you should be looking into, certainly. What we're talking about, where you're basically going about life, living as if you're still in a happy marriage, when in fact you're just roommates at this point. And is there a point of returning back to a healthy marriage? So, Julius, I appreciate you having this conversation here on WICC. Thank you always for being such a great resource. We really appreciate it.